This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
There's a growing push to waive patent protections on COVID-19 vaccines, but it could be an uphill battle.
So making vaccines is actually quite complex. It requires different ingredients. It requires complex machinery. It requires often new trials. If you set up a new production line or you create sort of a generic version of a vaccine, you have to hold a new trial. And there's just not enough out there at the moment.
And the SEC is considering new rules for brokerage apps that gamify trading. Plus, why poultry prices are flying high. It's Thursday, May 6th. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that move the world today. Stocks rose today on upbeat corporate earnings and signs of continued improvement in the labor market. The Dow was up more than 300 points to a new closing high. The S&P was up 0.8%. The NASDAQ was up 0.4%. Consumer staple stocks led the gains after Kellogg reported stronger than expected earnings. Tech stocks, which have been down this week, also rebounded. Jobless claims slipped below 500,000 last week for the first time since the pandemic began. On Friday, investors will watch for continued signs of economic recovery in the April jobs report. We'll have more on that in tomorrow's show. The Securities and Exchange Commission is exploring new rules for brokerage apps that gamify trading. Speaking to the House Financial Services Committee today, new SEC Chair Gary Gensler said applications that use visual graphics to reward a user's decision to trade might result in worse outcomes for investors. Gensler said that the current investor protection rules were written before trading moved to online platforms. The hearing comes after a boom in trading through apps like Robinhood drove several stocks, including GameStop and AMC, to record heights. Robinhood says that it reduces barriers to investing, but doesn't gamify trading. Drug maker Moderna reported its first-ever quarterly profit, driven by sales of the vaccine it rapidly developed to fight COVID-19. The vaccine brought in revenue of $1.73 billion in the first quarter. Moderna also boosted its full-year forecast of vaccine sales to $19.2 billion. But the drug maker's prospects are clouded by a push to waive intellectual property rights to allow developing nations to produce drug makers' vaccines. Investor worries about the temporary loss of patent protections sent shares of Moderna down 1.4%. Other drug maker stocks fell too. We'll have much more on the efforts to waive vaccine patents and the hurdles they face coming up later in the show. A group of House Democrats from rural districts is calling for family farms to be exempt from the Biden administration's proposal to tax capital gains at death. In a letter, they said they are worried about the tax having an unintended outcome of losing family farms. A Republican letter earlier this week raised similar concerns, but it opposed any change to capital gains rules. Democratic lawmakers have a slim majority in the House. Just a handful could hold up President Biden's broader plans to raise taxes and use the money for preschool, child tax credits, and other initiatives. The world's largest asset manager is in disagreement with the world's most famous investor. Over the weekend, BlackRock voted for two shareholder proposals that would require Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway to publish disclosures on how it manages climate risk and diversity efforts across its many businesses. Berkshire's two shareholder-led proposals didn't pass at the company's annual meeting, but around a quarter of votes were in favor of the two proposals. BlackRock's vote highlights the growing tension between asset managers who are calling for companies to further emphasize ESG issues and executives who are pushing back. Mr. Buffett has defended the company's current policies. And NBC Universal is exploring putting its regional sports channels on the streaming service Peacock or selling them off, according to people familiar with the matter. Regional sports channels were once a big moneymaker for media companies. Now the business is eroding as consumers cancel pay TV subscriptions or switch to traditional or streaming packages that don't include the sports networks. Coming up after the break, the challenges facing calls to waive patents on COVID-19 vaccines.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
The explosion of COVID-19 cases in India and other developing nations is adding momentum to a push to suspend intellectual property restrictions on vaccines. This week, the Biden administration said it would support the temporary waiver of patent provisions. The U.S. joins around 60 developing countries led by India and South Africa who are drafting a new proposal for the World Trade Organization to review. But the WTO is just one of the hurdles they will face. With more on this, let's bring in Africa Deputy Bureau Chief Gabrielle Steinhauser, who joins us from Johannesburg. Gabrielle, thanks for joining us.
Sure, happy to be here.
Bring us up to speed. Why has this issue of vaccine intellectual property become so important and so contentious?
You know, what we're looking at right now is really a two-speed vaccination drive where rich countries like the US, the UK, increasingly also the European Union are racing ahead, getting vaccines into the arms of their people, getting infections down, and now even looking at vaccinating children ahead of the new school year in September. And then a completely different situation in developing countries where very, very few people have been vaccinated. Certainly, even fewer have received two doses of the vaccine. And we're now seeing cases just exploding in India. And, you know, I think we're all following the horrible situation there with deaths just spiking to record levels that we haven't really seen in the pandemic so far. And that has just put pressure to increase production. And while we've had initiatives so far to get vaccines to the developing world, they've been really slow to get off the ground. So COVAX, which is backed by the World Health Organization, has delivered only around 53 million doses of vaccines to developing countries with a population of about 4 billion people. You know, so that just brings home what we're looking at here in terms of the gap that we need to fill. And the fact that the explosion of cases now is happening in India is actually making things worse because India is actually the world's biggest vaccine producer. And COVAX's facility was really counting on getting most of its vaccines from India. And India has just completely stopped exporting vaccines in the last few weeks to prioritize their own population. And that's left COVAX with almost no doses to give to other countries that are also facing increasing infections.
Now, the idea of waiving intellectual property rights for vaccines isn't entirely new, is it? Is there a precedent for this from past public health crises?
There is a little bit of a precedent for this from the HIV/AIDS crisis in the late 1990s, where, you know, you had a similar situation where pharmaceutical companies in the West were coming up with these treatments that were really saving people's lives and stopping them from dying from AIDS. But these treatments were incredibly expensive. And at the same time, you had just like thousands of people dying in poor countries like South Africa, India, and other African nations. And at the time, South Africa and India and a few other countries moved to issue compulsory licenses to produce these antiretroviral drugs much more cheaply in much larger quantities, and also to export them to countries that didn't have their own production. And it saved millions of lives. If you speak to the UN and other, you know, activists, I think there's hardly anybody who denies that this just really revolutionized the treatment of another horrible disease.
Not all countries have come out in favor of temporarily waiving the patents for the COVID-19 vaccines. Germany, which is home to two of the leading developers of messenger RNA vaccines, BioNTech and CureVac, has come out against it, for example. So what happens next? What permissions or approvals need to be obtained?
The WTO is not known for moving speedily, and this is going to be another scenario of very lengthy technical negotiations. Some of the people we've spoken to today were sort of saying, you know, this, if everything goes well, we could reach an agreement in sort of December, end of November, you know, which is a long time from right now, from early May. And then that's only the beginning, because once you have that, you need to set up the production lines, you need to transfer the technology, you need to buy the machinery. There's a lot of things that need to happen before you can actually start producing new vaccines.
What hurdles await there?
So making vaccines is actually quite complex. It requires different ingredients. It requires complex machinery. It requires often new trials. If you set up a new production line or you create sort of a generic version of a vaccine, you have to hold a new trial. And there's just not enough out there at the moment. You know, we've seen existing manufacturers falling behind in their production, sort of complaining that they can't access the necessary raw materials and machinery. So that's not something that can be solved overnight. This push at the World Trade Organization would really set a precedent on intellectual property rights protections that the pharmaceutical industry wants to avoid at all cost. That this will put more pressure on companies to increase production, share their licenses, and do something now. At the same time, everybody we've spoken to today is saying, you know, in the short term, rich countries just also need to share.
Bottom line, Gabrielle, how long are we talking about this taking? And what steps, if any, can be taken in the meantime?
The most optimistic people we've spoken to said if the industry plays ball, in addition to getting the waiver passed for patents, actually takes the step and voluntarily shares the sort of technical know-how that is needed to make these vaccines in addition to the patents themselves, and if there's massive financial investment into new production lines, maybe in 6 months we could set something up. This would assume that this patent waiver gets passed tomorrow, or that governments and companies really start taking actions now with the pressure of this waiver sort of hanging over them. So we're not talking about anything happening tomorrow. What we need to happen tomorrow, if we want to help people in India and want to avoid similar situations in other developing countries, is to share the vaccine doses that are being produced right now and that, you know, in the US are already sitting unused in warehouses, as is the case with the AstraZeneca vaccines. And some countries are starting to do that. You know, the US has said that they will start sharing some of those doses with the world. France has started donating some of its vaccines, and so have a few other countries, but it's just not enough. We're not talking about the volumes that are needed.
Wall Street Africa Deputy Bureau Chief Gabrielle Steinhauser. Thanks for joining us, Gabrielle.
Sure, thanks. Was a pleasure.
And finally, grilling season is just around the corner, but be prepared to pay more for chicken. For the past year, restaurant chains have been in a chicken war, coming out with new crispy chicken sandwiches and wing platters. But now that war has led to a chicken shortage, and poultry prices are skyrocketing. According to market research, the cost of chicken breasts has more than doubled since the beginning of the year, and wings have hit record highs. Our restaurant reporter Heather Haddon says that's not going to change anytime soon.
Poultry producers can't just on a dime start producing more. You know, it takes time to grow a chicken, but then they also need the staffing to be able to run these processing plants. You know, chicken is process still where human labor is really important. You can't just automate this process, so they need workers, and there is worker challenges right now in terms of getting people working across industries, so they're feeling those constraints, and it's causing bottlenecks.
And that's What's News for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Charlie Turner for the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.